Before you start your next do-it-yourself project, listen to this. You Got This is on the air. You Got This is hosted by ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air owner Andrew Twidwell and Rosalie Brown. With a helpful hand, here are Andrew and Rosalie.
Hi, this is Andrew Twidwell, owner of ABT Plumbing Electric Heat and Air, once again with the show You Got This. It's a show of DIY do's and don'ts. I'm here with Rosalie Brown. We're zooming in on a lovely day before a heat wave. We're recording this on Wednesday, and I understand it's going to be in the hundreds. So by the time you're listening to this, it's probably 110 degrees outside. Hot as the sun. But yeah, it's a little warm. But I'm going to start off with this because I just don't want to forget about it. Wait, say hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm just here. So you know, Rosalie's here. Rosalie's here. So right. I just want to start it with this because I'm afraid I'm going to forget about it. So I just want to let all of our listeners know that we are sponsoring, or hosting rather, the Lyman Gilmore 8th grade class at our shop this Saturday from 9 to 10, where they're going to be doing a car washing fundraiser. So if you've got a dirty car, and who doesn't, come on out to 699 South Auburn Street. We're right across the street from Nevada County Fence and kind of across the street from the Card Lock gas station and the oil changer place there. Anyway, they're going to have kids out there washing cars. They ask for a $15 donation, but you know, we all know you guys can give more than that. They're trying to get enough money for their students to go to the DC New York trip, which I think your kids went on. I know my kids went on.
Yeah.
And had a great time. It was very educational and very, it's great for eighth graders because they just kind of, you know, they're becoming mini adults and kind of gives them a little freedom, which I thought was great, even though my son got lost in New York City because he stopped and saw some shiny lights.
I do remember this, actually.
Yeah. And his phone went dead. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
He called us. Mom, I'm lost. And then his phone went dead. So my wife's freaking out. But in any event, it's a great trip. It's a great cause. So yeah, we will be hosting them this Saturday, 9 to 2 p.m., 699 South Auburn Street in Grass Valley, between McKnight and Empire. And look for us there and get your car washed. And I think they're going to be selling lemonade and other things too, but I'm not really totally clear on that. But anyway, we're just trying to help out the kids and get it so that whole class, the whole eighth grade class, can make the trip, because it's not cheap for a lot of the parents, or for most of the parents. Anyway, with that, how are things going with you? Because I just didn't want to forget that.
No, God, you remembered that. I'm good. I have a working AC, so I'm not going to complain. As you know, I'm in the middle of a couch assembly project, so I'm looking forward to completing that.
It's always fun putting couches together.
Yes, it actually is. So as we were getting ready for the show, I was like, you know, commenting on all my battle wounds, like, oh. It did hurt a little bit. I feel like the couch is going to come together.
You got
today.
It.
I do.
It's a good DIY project.
The funny thing is what was interesting was when I opened it and I saw the instructions, well, let's be real, my kid read the instructions, but she read them out loud to me because right away I'm like, oh God, parts, you know? I was like, this sounds so easy. Part one slips into part two, flip it over, you put some legs on, you're good to go. Sure, that sounds so easy. And it
looks so easy.
It does look very easy. Yeah, we'll see. So far, it's not gone that simple, but we're getting there. So going to have a new couch.
Well, it sounds like you got it together.
Well, I think when I flung myself upon it in a moment of complete angst and I was surrendering to it, I think I accidentally, with my body weight, clicked some things into place. So had I known that flinging myself onto furniture was going to be an effective way to
putting things together, of assembly.
Yeah, totally would have gotten in there and done it. You know what I mean?
One and done, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I had. I really wish I had. So, so there you go. So I'm just kind of working on that. And
couches are fun. I've had to put together two couches in the last 3 months myself. One on the third floor and one on the first floor. So yeah, that's fun stuff.
Well, you know, I'm not, I mean, this could be worse, because the day that I moved into this place, interesting enough, I'm considered like floor one, but I'm actually above a parking structure. So I'm technically on, like, you know, not on the ground floor, but, right. So pulled in, the van was all excited. My parking spot is right next to the elevator. I'm like, yes. And, no, that's not true, because the elevator was broken that day. So, so I had to take piece by piece. I had to go outside I had to go around the corner through a stairwell that was locked. So every time, I mean, it took, like, I think I told you this, 5 or 6 hours to unload, but would have taken, like, I don't know, an hour.
Right.
So when the couch got delivered to my front door today, I was like, it's all going to come together, because I didn't have to carry a 100-pound box through a parking structure and all that. So I just know it's going to happen. I'm going to be proud of it. I'm going to post pictures of it. I'm going to be like, I did a thing. But let's be honest, you know who's really going to have done a thing? It's going to be the 19-year-old engineering brain that I raised, because her brain is like, things lock into place. Me, it's like, I don't remember how to do this. Like, I'm like some a turtle on my back.
Gobbledygook that I'm somehow like a turtle makes things work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a turtle on my back. So
where's the bigger hammer?
Right. Oh, well, and a hammer has been, yes. In fact, I've grabbed hammers. Hammers have already been part of this. So progress is looking good.
Just for future note, hammers rarely have a place in assembling furniture.
Well, rarely. You would think that, but right. I think that there's, we'll see. I mean,
there are times, but it's pretty rare.
I mean, I wasn't going to go usually wild with it, but
Allen screws and cordless drills and maybe a crescent wrench.
I'm looking forward to this project being completed. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But we're going
to get it though. You got this.
I know, right? I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? I can figure this out. There's directions.
But the directions are typically, you know, like IKEA furniture. So it's fortunately just infograms, because I don't know Swedish, and a lot of it also is from China or other countries. And again, infograms or info.
Very few words.
Is infograms the right word? But pictures on how to put it together.
Yeah, they're illustrated. There's not a lot of words.
Yeah.
And you know, I get
and they're
that.
Still confusing.
Yeah, I did. I had a bookshelf I assembled not that long ago, and the diagram did make it clear that you had to flip the second half of the bookshelf, had to go the exact opposite direction that you would think it did.
Right.
And so I had to put that together a couple of times. And finally I was like, you know, when I left my Amazon review, I had to call out the instructions and be like, right. It would have been helpful if there had been an arrow. But then, you know, there's people that just look at things and know how they come together. And that's not that's not always me. In fact, it's usually not.
No, you're a words person.
Yeah.
And I talk about that a lot, because, like, you know, people that get into our industry have to be, you automatically know, like, I can look at something, I know how it's supposed to be. I can look at a picture and I know how it goes back together. That's just the way my brain works. But give me a question on a sentence and how to structure a proper sentence, forget about it. And like my son, same thing. Like, he's great at writing. He's great at understanding very esoteric concepts and things where it's just completely over my head. But give him a pair of channel locks and he will just look at you like, what? And hold him up by his pinky and his thumb, right? I mean, just completely, not his brain set. So yeah, I realized that, we're just wired. Everybody's wired a little differently. Nothing wrong with it, right? No judgment. It's just, we're different.
Just got to work with what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Work with what you got.
But speaking of that, I'm just going to put this out too, since we're kind of in the, before our, the meat of our show, we are looking for people that have said abilities to be able to look at something and be able to put it together in their mind's eye. We are looking for apprentices for both our plumbing and our HVAC department. I've got like 6 positions available right now. We're growing rapidly, and we finally decided that we're just going to hire apprentices and train them in-house to do things the ABT way, as opposed to trying to hire people from outside of our company and make them forget a lot of the bad habits they've learned in other companies, like, you know, not cleaning up after themselves and arguing with customers and doing things that, you know, aren't exactly customer centric. So if you know anybody, send them our way. We're hiring. And I'm also looking for plumbers, and we will teach guys and HVAC techs. Anyway, with that, let's go to our show. Let's talk about the meat and potatoes of what we're actually here for, DIY. And we're going to do like a quiz, right?
All right. So, you know, you have been officially in business for just over 20 years now, right? Because you put out the shingle in Nevada County and you grew up in the trades. And so you end up learning not just about plumbing, but a lot of other things. And some of that, as we discussed.
Been doing this for 49 years.
Yeah.
I'm 54 and I started with my dad when I was 5. So yeah.
Right. And dads teach you, you know, not always code, and dad teaches you things like what not to do, right? Because as we know, I think my dad got a little pleasure out of my fingers going in electrical sockets and stuff.
Good times.
Sick and twisted, right? So, you know, thanks dad, been in, you know, therapy all my life. But anyway, so let's talk about, since you have 20 years officially at ABT and 40 plus years, I never would have called you out on that, by the way, in the trades. I thought, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to do a pop quiz.
Let's give this a shot.
I'm going to see what happens. You know what you're talking about, because
this is,
you know,
AM radio. It could be really awful, or it could be pretty good. Let's see what happens.
You talk a big game, Andrew. All right. So, so I'm going to ask you a question, and then I want you to give me like the easy fix for like somebody who's not maybe going to, maybe these things don't require a professional. Maybe the homeowner or person can handle it themselves. Right. So if I were to say, oh my gosh, I just got home from vacation, or I just got back from the store or whatever, and I notice I have leaking pipes and faucets. Let's say it's my kitchen and I've got leaks going on. What are you going to tell me to do?
Well, first I'm going to ask you, where are the leaks? Are they leaking from the faucet, or are they leaking underneath the sink?
Okay, sure.
So that's the first thing. So yeah, there's a lot to be said about, you know, DIY and about the trades that we do. The first thing we want to do is narrow down what we're looking at, right? So is the leak coming from above or below, or do I see water on the floor? So if it's coming from above, if it's just dripping faucet, what I'm going to recommend, and this may be counterintuitive for a lot of people, if your faucet's more than 15 or 20 years old, go buy a new one, put a new one in. The new faucets are so far superior. It's not even worth fixing a lot of these older ones. I just did that to our bathroom sink in our guest house. I had an old Price Pfister with rubber washers. I could just replace the washers, but I know I'm going to have the problem again in 6 months to a year. I went out and got a ceramic disc cartridge valve faucet for $150, put it in. I know that thing's going to be good for another 15 years. I'm not going to have to mess with it. Just replace the faucet.
And that's a good price, right? I mean, that sounds like a good deal, right?
Yeah. It wasn't a cheap faucet, but
investment.
That's the other thing. If you are going to replace a faucet, buy a name brand faucet. Don't just go to the hardware store and pick up the cheapest one you see, because of the fact that it's going to take you some time to put in and it's going to take you some effort, and you probably don't want to do it again for another 10 years. Save yourself the headache and spend an extra $50 to $100 on something that's of quality, of name brand, and you're not going to have to deal with it quite as soon later down the road. Buy quality. So then if the leak is underneath the sink, so like I open up the cabinets and I see leak coming underneath the sink, two things I want to find out: is the leak continuous or is the leak intermittent? And why do I want to know those two things? And that's true with any type of leak. Is the leak continuous or is it intermittent? If it's continuous, it tells me that it's a supply line leak, or it's a water supply, the water coming in, because the water pipes are always under pressure. So it's going to be continually leaking, right? I've always got water in the system, and there's always this pressure being exerted on the walls of the pipe trying to get out. So you're going to have a continuous stream of water. Now I know it's a water line problem, or it's a water supply issue underneath the sink. If it's intermittent, I know it's a drain issue, because of the fact that we turn a faucet on, water goes down the drain. The water's only in the pipe until the water drains out or until you turn the faucet off.
Sure.
You flush the toilet, you got a gallon and a half of water going through the system. That's it. Once it's done, it's done. So it will leak intermittently. So if I'm underneath the sink and I notice that it only leaks, I've got a wet spot, but it's not, I don't see any active leaks right now, I know it's a drain issue. I know it's one of the tubular parts. It's the P-trap or the continuous waste. Again, relatively easy to fix. If you've got some DIY cred, you can do this. But if it's a continuous leak, more likely it's a supply tube. And here's another thing. Those little supply tubes underneath your sink, they say right on the tag, replace after 10 years. They don't last forever. Everything on the outside of the wall, we have a life expectancy of about 10 years. Everything behind the wall is generational, 20 to 40 to sometimes, you know, 100 years. But on this side of the wall, 10 years. So replace them. Even if you're suspect that it might be a supply line, just replace them, put a new one in. Relatively easy.
Right. And those are pretty cheap, right? So it's like
pretty cheap. And with the braided stainless steel flex lines that we have today, it's, you know, that we've had for like the last 20 years, it's not, you know, most DIY people can handle it. Other than, you know, if it's really high up and difficult to reach, you may need to get yourself a basin wrench, which helps you get into those tight spaces. You could look up what a basin wrench is online. They're, you know, again, buy a quality one, spend the $50 or $200 to get a good one. Don't buy the cheap one, but yeah, we'll save you a ton. So anyway, those are the kind of things I would ask, and those are the how I go about solving that problem.
Because you have to triage. Because, you know, when I don't want to make a I don't want to make a plumbing emergency sound like a 911 emergency, but I will say this: what I love about ABT is that if I have to call and I like. Your office staff is so good at kind of getting enough, like you have to ask questions, right? You have to probe a little bit, because for me to even know, you know, for them to even know like who to send and what to expect and what kind of parts and things like that, like there's a little triage happening. So,
Is it bleeding? I mean, that's the main thing. Is it bleeding? Right. If it's actively bleeding, yeah, that's an emergency.
Right.
If it's every once in a while, then I know it's just a scratch and I might put you in the end of the line.
Well, yeah. I like me complaining about my broken, you know, pinky or thumb or whatever earlier, you're like, yeah, let's see. This patient tends to over-exaggerate. So I'm going to wait till it wears off. I am that patient. I admit. Okay.
You're in the waiting room.
We're going to do her last because she's probably overestimating the damage here.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that's a skill though. Right. So I think your staff is really good at like, kind of like, okay, give me more details.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say I woke up and found like, oh my gosh, my water pressure, what is going on? Like it's way low and this is not going to work for me. I can't take a shower. I'm unhappy. What do I do? Can I fix that? Well, someone like me,
Okay. So again, we're going to go through a diagnosis, right? The first question I'm going to ask is, where are you experiencing low water pressure? And a lot of times it'll be a specific fixture. You know, my kitchen faucet, my bathroom faucet, or like you say, my shower head, really low water pressure, really low volume. I want to kind of go back a little bit. We sometimes confuse pressure and volume. Pressure is fairly consistent, you know, when except for wells, but even wells, there's only like a 10 or 20 PSI spread, but flow is there's something constricting the water flow, and then we say that's pressure, but it's usually something slowing the water flow down, the volume of water that's coming out. So is it a specific fixture? So if it's like a faucet, there's a thing that aerates the water on most faucets. Sometimes people take them off, but the purpose of that is it puts air into the stream of water so that when you put your hands underneath, water doesn't spray all over the place. It softens the flow. The other thing it does is it usually restricts the flow, because most faucets are regulated now to 1.25 gallons, I think, per minute, or 1.5, I can't remember. And some are 2. But anyway, there's flow restrictors in there. There's literally a thing to slow it down. The orifices on those, the holes where the water actually goes through, are really, really tiny. So if I'm on an old house or if I'm on a well, there's a good chance that some sand or some rust broke free of something and migrated and got stuck in that hole. So it's just a matter of pulling the aerator out, getting any of the crud that's in there and clean it out. If it's a shower head, more than likely it's going to be a hard water issue. It's going to be a calcium or magnesium buildup. And there's some really easy ways of solving that. And we've talked about this before and we've had some pictures. It's a simple thing of taking some vinegar and water solution. I can't remember. I think it's like a 50-50 solution.
Yeah.
In a plastic bag and a rubber band, putting it over the shower head, using the rubber band to hold it in place and leave it there overnight. And the acids in the vinegar are going to dissolve the calcium magnesium and clean off the shower head. And 9 times out of 10, that'll take care of your problem. If it's a pressure issue in the entire system, now that's something that's much bigger. It's probably something at the well, And if you've got a filtration system on the well, it's probably that, or it's a pressure switch problem. You start getting into more difficult things, higher level DIY or professional level repairs when it comes to that. If it's a city issue, there's rarely a pressure issue on NID water or pipe treated water coming in from the city. There may be a fire that's happening and they're drawing a lot of water that could lessen the pressure, but that's a momentary thing, but it's rarely something that's going to be for any length of time on, sure, on a pipe treated water. So okay, we got time for one more. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes perfect sense. Okay. I really like the idea. Is it centralized, or is it a centralized issue, or is it just at one, you know?
Yeah, again, it's that diagnosis, right? Is it one fixture? And 9 times out of 10, it's just one fixture.
Sure.
And we get those calls all the time. I have low water pressure. Well, where is it at?
Right.
Well, wait. Oh, yeah, I guess I mainly notice it in my kitchen sink. Okay, no problem. It's usually the aerator. With some of the newer faucets where you've got the pull-out spout, it could be there's a check valve in the head to make sure that we don't have backflow of water from the dirty kitchen sink back into our drinking water. Sometimes stuff gets stuck in that, so you have to pull the head and clear that out. I have seen on rare instances where I'll get a piece of rock or rust stuck inside the body of the valve, and we just have to replace the valve. But that's really rare. It's usually the aerator.
Okay, good to know. Now, there's one that I have, it's not on the list, but I know you're going to know it. So what happens if my toilet rocks? A toilet is not supposed to rock back and forth. No. So what would you suggest might be the issue?
So 9 times out of 10, why a toilet rocks is the way a toilet's held down is literally by 2 quarter-inch bolts. 2 quarter-inch brass bolts that are on either side of a pipe, and they're anchored to the pipe itself. And in between that pipe and the toilet is wax, literally wax. What happens is either the flange that holds the bolt or the bolt itself gets loose or breaks, and it will rock. One of the bad things that happens once it rocks is you've got wax as a seal between your toilet and your pipe. Wax doesn't have a memory. Once it's compressed, it's compressed. So as it rocks, now all of a sudden I'm going to have a gap on one side or the other. So every time I flush the toilet, that stinky water is leaving my pipe and going around the perimeter of my toilet and rotting my floor. And we see it all the time. So if you have a rocking toilet, take care of it immediately. Don't let it sit.
Immediate,
again, triage. It's an intermittent type of thing. So it doesn't have to happen like I need it. It's not an emergency. I need to have something out here today, but I need to have it done within the next couple of days or avoid using that fixture. And what it requires is pulling the bolts, pulling the nuts off the bolts, pulling the water supply off the toilet, removing the entire toilet, fixing either the flange or the bolt, putting a new wax seal, putting a new water supply, and resetting the toilet. Pull and reset the toilet. Okay. It's again, one of those... Yeah, it's medium DIY, but it's doable probably by, you know, 75% of the DIY people out there.
Okay. That sounds reasonable, Andrew Treadwell. So
yeah, and that's a big one. And
you didn't do too bad on the pop quiz.
I know. And you didn't even we had kind of a script, but we kind of went off script. So we nailed
as
it.
I'm known to do. So
yeah, well, me too. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you do a lot of ad-libbing on this show.
I know, right? Okay. So if anyone has a problem with their plumbing, electric, heat, or air system, who are they going to call?
Give us a call. ABT Plumbing, Electric, Heat, and Air at 530-230-9092. The number again, 530-230-9092. You can also find us on the web at easyasabt.com and on Facebook and all kinds of places on the interweb. You can find this show on our website. Archived for all the
last 3 years.
3 years of shows are all there. And then one last plug for the Lyman Gilmore 8th grade class doing the car wash this weekend, this Saturday, the 19th, between 9 and 12 at 699 South Auburn Street at our shop. Come on by and get your car washed. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Rosalie. Now let's get that project started. You got this. We'll be back next Friday morning at 9 o'clock on KNCO News Talk 830.